Welcome to Healers of the Light Talk Show with your host, Joanna Basols, streaming live from Miami Beach, Florida, talking about metaphysics and healing methods. Hello, everyone. I am back in town. I was in a short vacation, so I'm sorry I couldn't have a live program last week, but there was no way I could have done it. I was driving all the way from Switzerland to Bulgaria, and it was non-stop because otherwise I wasn't going to make it. Something very interesting happened when I bought my ticket. I had bought them for 10 days, but when I went to print them the day before leaving, they were only for 7 days. And I don't know how that happened. So the airline was kind enough to refund half of my ticket because they didn't understand how that happened either. So I wasn't going to contest it. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to go back. And because that was pretty interesting. And I learned to listen to the messages of the universe. So I wasn't going to be like, oh no, I'm going to buy this again. And there were no tickets anyway for that date for some reason. So I'm sorry about that, but I'm back here. And if you would like to give us a call for any questions, now you can. I would like to start this show by giving a couple of announcements. First, it is that I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be starting a new round of classes for the spiritual, for our soul reprogramming method. And those are going to be in October in Miami, starting on the 6th of October to the 8th. That will be the basic class, 6, 7, and 8. Then we have the advanced class, 13, 14, and 15. And the master's class, 20th, 21st, and 22nd. So if you're looking to learn the soul reprogramming method, please feel free to email me at info@healersofthelight.com so we can reserve your spot. I'm going to be advertising it in our media and Facebook. Usually is where I post all of our events. But if you would like to reserve your spot, or if you have any questions about the schedule or anything like that, please let us know. I usually have the class also available in a 1 week, in a whole week full class. But since I'm located in Florida and I have the chance to do this in 3 separate weekends for those who work during the week, and just to be more a little bit more lenient, a little bit more gentle with the activation, so you can feel it and you can see if you're ready for the next activation. This is something that I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. We were talking about DNA activation and how it works in the class. And even though we have been lucky that the people that have come to the class are already in some level of development of the soul, we have to always keep in mind that there could be someone that could be starting. And sometimes a full 12-strand DNA activation for them could be a little bit intense. And so I was, in my meditations, I was discussing this issue with the committee that activates the does the connections with the DNA, and it's basically the higher beings that we communicate with for the reprogramming class. And they mentioned that the soul knows exactly to up to how much or how far to go with the DNA activation. It doesn't mean that they will be able to connect all 12 strands if they're not ready for it. And we did have, now that I'm saying this, I remember we did have a case in one of our classes where one of the people in the class, she did all her programming, but it couldn't activate more than 10 strands, or I can't remember if it was 9 or 10 by the end of the class. Everybody else was 12, but then she was 9 because she had to go through something else during a period of a few months before the being able to activate the other 3 strands. So it is, there is not such a risk as I thought that could be, but it's always good to prevent. And if you feel like, you know, there are too many symptoms and too many things associated with it, sometimes it's good to have the class in three steps. The good thing is like there is some sort of queue, like some sort of a waiting area or something like that, to call it some way, where all your activations are projected, but they're not going to start happening until you're ready for them. The good thing is like they're going to stay there, and when you complete what you're supposed to complete and they receive the message that you are ready for it, then it will trigger and it will continue. So there's no risk in that sense. Just wanted to let you know that. And another thing that is important that I mentioned from now is that there are no longer certifications for teaching the class. There are, of course, certifications for consultation. You can continue offering this consultation in all the ways that you find useful to others, but there is no teaching certification. And the reason for that is because there is, this is my life purpose, that's why I teach, but it's not the life purpose of everyone to be a teacher. So, but everyone could be a healer. So that's the reason, and that's what I was explained to, and I'm not allowed to offer the certification of teaching the class any longer. I don't know if that might change because things can possibly change at some point, but as now, this is what I am being told, so I'm going to make notes, and so everybody knows that when they finish the class, they are able to offer consultations, but they will not be able to teach the class. There is something about this whole reprogramming class that is very interesting. It is all about frequencies. It's like everything has a frequency. The book, the even who does what, who teaches has to be the one that is assigned for teaching. The one that receives the class are the ones that are meant to be. Because I always ask who, you know, what kind of people should I expect in the class, and I always hear the ones that are meant to be will be the ones that come to the class or things like that. But everything is like already giving, and even the materials, if it's not the material that comes from the academy, it would not work. For some reason, it's like there is this energy in even in the printed materials, you know, that you give in the class. It's like they have their own life. They have been created in such a way that they have to be the ones. It cannot be a copy. It cannot be reprinted from anywhere. That's why I don't even have digital copies of anything. Everything has to be hard copies, and everything has to be given from me to the student. And in that sense, it works. I know that probably some people think that, oh, you know, that's probably too much, and it doesn't, for some other healing classes, it doesn't work that way. It's much simpler. But keep in mind that we're working with energies that are very, very, very high frequency. So they have their own rituals and their own ways, and we're just honoring that and thanking them for allowing us to learn this at this time. It seems like it's something from the future or something that is a little bit advanced for our time, and we just have that blessing of being able to take a peek at it and use it for healing purposes. So we just have to go with what we're being told. And so those are the announcements. So we have the class, and just to let you know those changes in our curriculum. And another couple of things that I wanted to mention about the SRM is that we had two more case studies that were very interesting. I want to share this with you. The first one is my father, actually. I had no intentions of reprogramming him because I always thought, you know, he's a very stubborn person, and he may not even think that there is anything that needs to be changed in him, so I never even offered. But the other day he asked me, or he sent me a picture of him from the sleep apnea clinic. He was like taped up with a bunch of devices for the AKG and everything, like spending a couple of days in the sleep apnea clinic. I didn't know that he was doing that. He said, you know, I can't sleep. I just don't sleep forever. I haven't been able to sleep in years. And I sleep like 4 hours a day, and I take a ton of pills to sleep. And I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And I knew that you had some trouble to sleep, but I didn't know it was that bad. And he said, yeah. So he went to the clinic, and they told him that it was emotional insomnia. And I said, well, if it's emotional, I think I can probably do something for you. If you want me to reprogram you, if you allow me to do that, let's see how it goes. And he agreed. I was surprised. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And when I was doing his reprogramming, just in the first part, which is the activation of the main purpose, he already dropped one of those pills. He takes like four pills to sleep. He now is back to, he's down to three. Well, he was down to three just with the activation of the main program. And then when I continue doing the cells and body and brain, he is now down to only one pill. And I think it's just out of a habit that he's doing it, because he's sleeping 8 hours and it is incredible. He's like, can't believe that that happened. I asked him if he was doing something different than he was been, that he had been doing for all these years. He said no. They still hadn't given any prescription from the sleep apnea clinic, and he was waiting, like I told him, to until I could do the reprogramming to make sure that there is no changes, until we can observe a difference, and he is going to be happier. Plus, he feels very, very active, and I'm really happy that I could help. I mean, these are things that we don't think sometimes. That are, you know, that sleeping. I have never had problems sleeping. As soon as I touch the bed, I go to sleep. But I can just imagine how tiring, you know, throughout the day someone should feel if you don't sleep more than 4 hours a day. The rest of your day, you're just tired. I mean, and the other 4 hours, you're in the bed just tossing and turning and not really sleeping. That's terrible. There's some people that, you know, when they stand up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, they just can't go back to sleep. That's just, it's horrible. I usually have to get up in the middle of the night to let my dog out to the backyard because he hears some noise or something. He does that like three times a night, and then I go back to sleep every time with no problem. But I cannot just imagine how tiring it would be to not be able to do that. So that worked perfectly for his insomnia. He is super happy with this. And some of the things that I noticed when I was doing the balancing of his elements that came to my attention, I never really realized this, is that one of them is immediately, and usually this is done at the end of the reprogramming, but at this time we did it in the sales and memory restructuring. It was the balancing of the elements caused by discordant energies that came right away. It seems like it was necessary in order to reestablish health, and that was in many levels. He had so many discordant energies that they just asked me to do it at once, and then I had to wait 24 hours to continue after that. So everything was kind of balancing itself in a 24-hour period after I asked for the balancing of all the elements of the earth. And another thing that they asked was to disconnect the connection that he had with his parents and my mom that passed away at the beginning of this year. So it seems that, I didn't know this, but it seems that we stay connected to people that we had experiences with. We stay connected to them somehow. And these connections were causing him to a lot of stress and emotional stress. So when I cut those ties, it was like he immediately felt released. It was interesting because I know I had to do that from my mother. I had to cut my ties with her when she died in January because I didn't realize how much that really affects. And maybe I never realized it because, I mean, I was not that connected with my feelings or emotions. So at that point, it was just, okay, I have to do it. But now I can see the difference in him, how immediately now he was able to recover the sleep, and he's in a very, very good mood and seems like completely, a totally different person. He's totally happy. He's always been a very happy person, but you never know when someone is just being happy from the skin out, you know? So I think now he's genuinely really happy. And this is something that it's important to keep in mind. If we have lost someone that is important to us, by cutting those ties with them after they pass, doesn't mean that we're going to forget them, or we're not going to honor them, or we're not going to love them anymore. It just means that whichever influence in our emotions will not be affect will not affect us anymore, because there's no point in mourning that forever. Is there's really no point. The person can't rest in peace, and we can't live in peace here. So it's something that is important that we know and we do. So, and luckily we were able to do that with reprogramming, since it's an astral connection that we keep with a person. Then and we're working at an astral level with this healing, and we were able to just ask to High Self to please cut the ties with each one of them, and then clean the space, and then he was able to just be himself. Any energy that was being transferred to those people that were not here anymore, it was reestablished, and now he can use all his full energy for himself, which is great. And I wonder, now that we're talking about that, that perhaps there we're also connected to people that are alive and are probably sucking our energy out. Maybe people that were important sometime, or we had a relationship with at some point, but not anymore, but we feel connected. It's like everything we do, we still think about this person, or this person is taking a lot of space in our minds at any given point. And that is something that we can also do with reprogramming. We can cut the ties with the person that is no longer necessary, or not necessary, but I mean, it's not necessary that we're thinking about them 24/7 and taking all of our energy. So that's something that we can also regulate. And even if there are people that are actively established in our lives and we feel like we're turning a little bit obsessive, that's something that can also be regulated with the reprogramming. I think it's important that everything is balanced. And that usually happens when we do the reprogramming itself. It tells us, you see, I would have never known to ask to cut the ties with dead people. I didn't know that, but reprogramming knew that that was something that was causing an imbalance in my father, and immediately asked me to do that. So that's a great thing about it. If there is something that you need to observe, it will tell you. So that's excellent. And another case study, besides the insomnia, another case study that I'm working on now that I think is interesting. I still have not really started, but I will have it ready probably by next week. But I just wanted to bring up the topic because I think it's interesting. It is about a person that one wanted to know if reprogramming could help release or could help change homosexuality. So they want to know if homosexuality is something that you're born with, or is something that happens later, or is it something related to a trauma. And I really don't know. I don't have the answer to that question. I know there is a lot of speculation for that. And I know that there could be some that are some reasons that people decide to become homosexual later on. It's not that they are born like that, but some may have been born that way. So in this case, it seems that this person had some questions and had some doubts about it. And I had to ask in our higher beings to find out exactly if we could help the person. And in this case, because his homosexuality came from a traumatic event, we could be able to balance his elements. And then if after that he decides that he wants to continue living in that way, it will be on his own, and then we'll probably find out if it's something that he was born with or not. But any attachment to imbalances in the earth level, we'll be able to find out immediately if that's the case after reprogramming. Something that was brought to my attention was that usually the people with issues, father issues, or imbalances with the father figure are the ones that will present the emotional homosexuality case, and that probably will be able to be balanced. It's not that it's a bad thing, it's just that if someone is wondering if it can be done, I think it can be balanced. And then after that, then they can do whatever they want, or they can be in any relationship they want from a balanced place and not from a deficiency or imbalance in the relationship with a parent. Sometimes they're looking for a father figure, and ends up happening that way. But if after balancing the elements, they still enjoy the company of the same sex partner, then it's great. You know, it doesn't have to be. It's like in any other relationship. If we're looking, we're starting a relationship from an imbalance point, then we can't expect that the relationship will succeed. But in any kind of relationship, we should always balance our elements to make sure that if there are any emotional attachments or any emotional imbalances that are telling us to act a certain way, they are taken care of and in our own space rather than bringing them into the relationship and interacting with the person from that place. So that is interesting. And is what we talked about in the case studies of the relationship is what we discussed. We said, you know, we can't really pretend that the relationship will succeed if we don't balance our elements first. And that's what we do. So that's what the advice that I gave them. So any progress in this topic, I will present it next week. And we'll go from there. We'll see what we find out. Well, very good. So those are the updates in the SRM. And remember, if you want to sign up for the class, you can also go on our website and healersofthelight.com and just click on events and you will see what is up in the events. I had one planned in October for LA, but I am going to change it to Miami, Florida, because I think it's probably better that I do the 3 weekends class here rather than just 1 week in LA, and it's right in the middle of the month, so it probably will take the month. It would, you know, I can't do anything before or after. So probably that's what we're going to do. I'm just going to make the changes now on the website. And if you have any questions or requests for a class in another location, feel free to ask. Very good. And now I also wanted to mention that I will be releasing in our social media a series of articles regarding mind control or mental spaces. Prior to the release of the book, The Planet of the Ideas. I still have not decided that this will be the name, but let's call it Planet of Ideas right for now. I think this is a good name, but I will probably have a poll going on in social media to see if you guys have an opinion or would like to see a different name on the book. The book is about the use of frequency words to access mental spaces. How to access mental spaces to get to the place where ideas are found, and from that place go to throughout the whole process of idea development to manifestation. And once we are there, since we can access the same space for either creation or destruction, we can also find the ideas that are limiting us and remove them, release ourselves from those ideas once we access that mental space. And this can be done with the use of frequency words. And if you don't know this by now, I'm an expert in the use of frequency words. I really don't know how the expertise came, but I've been using them in very different ways. It's just like reprogramming. And one day I just remember this. And same thing with the words. There are, instead of sitting there and meditating for an hour, I usually... What I do is say a group of words that is usually a paradox, because paradoxes have movement. Paradoxes are words that are two phrases that are put together that individually could be true, but if put together, they may or may not be true, but usually have some sort of movement. When you say a paradox, it's like something that is not really, I don't know if you can see, I see the words moving. Like when we say something that is yes, but no, and then it's just like it doesn't stop. I could see the movement in those words. Same thing, you can use these paradoxes to connect to spaces in the mind. So if you're someone that works in creativity, in creation of different things, like maybe you're an architect, you're a designer, you're a writer, or simply you want to have an idea of anything, you can use these paradoxes to access those mental spaces and from there create. It's a whole different thing to actually access the mental space to extract what you need, rather than just, you know, hoping that one day you will be walking around and you will have this light bulb turn on, because it could or could not happen. It all depends on if you get to catch that wave, that mental frequency. But if you don't, for any reason, because you're sucked into the routine, or you're like in a bad mood, or around people that just don't let you get to that point, then it may never happen. So for those that don't have the patience, like me, those that don't have the patience to wait for the right time, then we bring the right time. And with these paradoxes, you can access the space where the ideas are. We go from the premise that ideas are not created by us. We don't create any ideas. We don't create anything. Ideas are already there. Ideas are in a space that is like a cloud. So we access the space and we bring what we need. I don't know if you ever read Plato, but Plato explains this theory of the cloud, of the planet of ideas. He was one of the first ones in saying that ideas are not something that we create from the earth level or from our mental space. It's something that is part of the universal mind. So we connect to those ideas that are already there, and we're able to use them. And I totally share that opinion. And this is also not an opinion. This is something that I also remembered as part of the book, and that's why I wrote it. And I'm sure that this is more than just an opinion. It's something that I brought from the ether. So this is how the universal mind works. All things, all thoughts are already there. So we access them and we interact with them in a way that we want, and then we bring them. But what happens before they can be manifested in the earth, before an idea can be manifested in the earth level, we go through some sort of filter. There are these two steps or two spaces that I was able to identify in the creation or manifestation, let's say, of an idea. Three. The first one is the place where we access the idea. With the use of the frequency word, we access the idea, and then we have a second step that is the egg, what I call, is when it is incubating. It's like the idea starts getting, you know, a form, it starts getting more of their identifiers, it becomes like a more of a entity on itself. And then after that, I was able to identify another space that is, I call it the planet of the mirrors, because it's like a space where the same thing can be seen in many different ways. And this is not just a thing, it's more like several dimensions. It's like you bring that idea into a space that is like a house of mirrors, and you can see the same idea acting in many different possible ways. It's like at the same time are all these dimensions active. And then the last part will be the manifestation in our plane of reality. So if our plane of reality is here in three-dimensional, we bring one of those dimensions or those probabilities that we saw in the planet of the mirrors, and we bring it down to the plane of reality. And there are many, many things that we can do with this, understanding this process, the process of entering the space where ideas are, is very important, because there we can analyze what someone had in mind when they developed certain idea, how we can even access the same space that they access when they had the idea, and we can probably even get to perfect an idea that we think that could have been better. And I show you in the book how to bring all those elements and how to go backwards from the reality back to probabilities, back to the mind space where the ideas are, and for that specific thing or theory or anything. And we learn that way how to enter each one of these spaces. For each one of these spaces, we have a paradox, because it is like a different wave. It's like one is an alpha wave, one is a gamma wave, another one is a delta wave. So in order to access the mental space of the universal mind, you also have to pair your own brain levels or your own brain waves to those of the universal mind. And that you do with the use of frequency words. It's very simple. It may not happen immediately, but you may be able to develop it quite easily because the words are put together in a way that if you don't pay full attention, you're probably going to have to say it again because the words are like 3 or 4 paragraphs. And if you're not able to say it all at once perfectly, you have to do it again and do it again until you finally say the 3 paragraphs without making a mistake. And in doing so, you're bringing your full attention, your consciousness to that specific frequency of those words. And once you do that, then you enter this space. And once you enter this space, there's a series of steps and things that you follow in order to find the ideas that you want. You probably think, oh, well, I do this normally every day. Yes, but you could be doing it much more efficiently. And you could know also what to look for and how to manifest it. And you could also understand what happens after you got your idea. You know, how do you find the probabilities that are the most possible for the manifestation of your idea? And also, if you're able to enter that space of the mirrors, you can also find out what possible other things could happen. So you can prevent any issues, you can prevent, and you can also be proactive and come up with solutions before things happen. And the most interesting thing is that I found so many similarities between the elements in the mirrors, in the planet of the mirrors, which is a multiple dimension space, is a multiple probability space. There's so many similarities in that space and in our reality plane. It's like having this virtual reality aid, you know, those glasses, the Oculus, whatever they're called, that you're not really there physically interacting, but you have the same sensorial experiences and you're able to trigger in the body the same reactions. Your cells in the body do not know that you're in that space or you're in the physical level interacting with something at physical level. Is that a reason to think that because we're interacting at physical level, is that more real than if we are interacting at a sensorial level but not actually physically interacting with anything? Okay. What is really the goal of interacting with anything? Is it sensorial experience? Like, why do we eat something? Okay, nourishment. But 99% of the people eat because they want to taste something, because they have a craving, you know? And that's when you become, you know, you're looking for that sensorial experience. And you can have the same experience imagining that you're sucking on a lemon than actually doing it. Your body is going to respond the same way. And this is something that I am exploring further in the book, and I'm showing how we can bring elements from that space, from the multidimensional space, to our reality to activate a particular probability that we want to see manifested by bringing some of the elements and by us fully embracing the sensorial experience of activating that reality. And by doing that, other elements that are part of that dimension, of that probability, will find that there is already a space in the plane of reality that is similar or is already ready for them to come. So by activating the law of attraction, we're going to be allowing these elements to come into our reality. And all those things we develop a little bit more deeply in the book. But I will be releasing, I will be discussing chapters throughout these months before the the publishing of the book, so we can actually work with this, and perhaps we'll have a couple of workshops where we use these paradoxes and we see what we can create, a great mastermind for something that and that is interesting. So I'll take your advice if you have in topic in mind, something that you would like to see a mastermind for, or some idea for this workshop. I'm all ears, I'm open. I think we should use it for something interesting that probably could help maybe the environment, or maybe anything else that is really needs our help right now. So we could do a little workshop where we all go in the mental space and we can see what we can create. And not only what we can create, but also what can be brought to reality. Maybe there's something that is already there that just no one has taken the time to think. No one has taken the time because we're all immersed in our own things. But if we could just take the time and we could all enter in our space of the mind to find these great ideas, it could be really, really something beautiful. And this will be also a great tool to practice. Like if this is, for example, a creative office where you need to activate your mental juices for all the people that are you know, supposed to come up with great ideas. This is a way to have them work those brains and bring in all the good creative stuff into the projects. Another thing that we see in the book too, because we discussed different ideas, but the most important idea that I bring to everybody's attention there is the original idea. It's what I call the original idea of anything. Basically, is what is what God had in mind when he decided, or he had the intention to create that first idea. So the first idea of a plant, for example, of a tree, or even of yourself. When he said, I'm going to create her, he first had the idea. So I have an idea. She's going to be looking like this. She's going to be doing this. These are her qualities. And then all the identifiers. So actually, I don't think I take that back. I don't think that looking like is one of the main things. I think the main things are the qualities. So if I was thinking like a universal mind would think, I'd say the qualities is the first thing that comes in. And that from there, then all the identifiers come after. Like, how am I going to make her reach these qualities, then that comes after. And then the multiple possibilities scenario is like, okay, parents are going to be like this, going to be born in this place, it's going to have this profession, it's going to be doing these things, and the life purpose comes in also there with the multiple possibilities, and then bloop, in the earth. So I think that following those steps is what you can also do in reverse to find the original idea of yourself. Following the steps and deconstructing what you are now after all those identifiers, plus the ones that you acquired on your own in the earth, if you deconstruct everything, what do we get? What do we have? Where do we go? We go to the original idea of who you are. We have been saying this a lot. I have heard more than anything lately about we have to be ourselves. What does that really mean? Like if you say, I need to be myself, what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, your profession or just like you're going to be a rebel and rebel against anything that comes in front of you? Or like, what does being yourself mean? So to find out what being yourself is, you have to go from the end product. Look at you where you are now. Make a list of all your qualities and all the things that you don't like. And just know that those are polarities of who you are. It's like you are the whole thing. It's not that you are only good things and you are not the bad things. You are all of it. And there's nothing wrong with it, but you have to be aware of it because those are things that are the extremes of the or the polarities of the same thing. Everything has polarities. Everything has a positive and negative side, and black and white, and everything in the planet or everything in the universe has poles. And you can see that is a universal law. The law of polarity, it says that everything has one side and another opposite side. So you need to understand that it is okay to have good and bad in you. It doesn't mean that you're only good or you're only bad. But that's why I'm always saying that we need to find a midpoint where we're not good or we're not bad, but we're neutral. And from there, we could choose to step out of that space, but knowing what are these boundaries of the good and bad, and knowing what is the midpoint, how it feels to be neutral, how it feels to just be you. And then choose to act, you know, choose to act in the virtual as a virtue, as a quality. Choose to go for the good instead of the bad. But that's a choice. That's not just happening because you're subject to the things that happen around you. That is just you knowing, learning yourself, learning to know yourself, and acting from a midpoint. That's what I've been trying to explain or convey in all these quotes that I share sometimes in social media, and sometimes they're understood, sometimes they're not, but I will continue sharing, and if at some point, you know, they will make their way the way they should, because we all hear and we all see things the way that we need to see them when we need to. So if I share something, maybe having something in mind, and it comes across as something different, it is fine, because that's what you need it in that moment, and you're going to see it the way that you need it. So I don't think that I need to be imposing anything or any point, but I just wanted to clarify that this is where this comes from, the whole thing about the midpoint and the balance that I've been talking about so much. Okay, so going back to the idea of who you are, there are many things that we can do also to find that beginning, that original idea of who we are. And in the book, I offer some rituals, because from understanding the elemental language now of working with the SRM, with the soul reprogramming method, I've been able to understand the elemental language. I see how elements talk, how they relate to each other, how they are balanced, how they find their ways to express themselves. So, and I understand that nature or the universe likes rituals. They want to see something ritualistic. It's just like the sun. Every day comes out from one side, goes back on the other side, and the moon, the same thing. It's like there are some rituals in the universe, and we are also part of that macrocosm, and we should observe ritualistic language if we want to convey a message to the universe that is strong, because we can always say what we want, but the universe may not understand correctly. How many times has it happened to us that we say something and we're like, oh, you know, that's not what I meant, but I received exactly the literal thing that I asked. And yes, because, you know, the universe is not going to see what you're thinking. It's like what you really said. Or sometimes it might go for your intention. And I don't know, it happens. It works in various ways. So, but there is one language that will never fail, and is the ritualistic language. So there are things that we can do to show our interest or to show our intention to the universe. And by wanting to know ourselves, being one of those, we can follow many things. Especially one that I find interesting and that I use in my workshops of removing limiting ideas is to write all your qualities in a paper, you know, after you enter these mental spaces and you go in a place where it's just you with all the things that make you feel you, all the things that you like, that you feel comfortable, all the things that make you feel home. That's the, let's call it the home mental space. Once you're there, you're able to experience the feeling of who you are, like all your qualities, things that make you happy, the things that make you just be comfortable and be centered and be balanced. Being in that space, you can find, maybe without words, I don't think there are really many words to define what we are, but we could find the qualities that are part of that, of that home space. And that's what I think that is the beginning of all creation, is the qualities, is how we're going to develop these qualities. And that's what starts, where everything starts. So if you write your qualities down, and perhaps you want to make them, infuse them with the four elements of the earth, so you can bring those qualities here, you can do that, you can do a little ceremony where, you know, you write all your qualities in a piece of paper, and then you can possibly, you know, put some water in it, turn a candle, and also put some drops of perfume in them, because perfume has all fire, air, and it has the integration that is earth, and also it has water. And then you can dig a little hole in maybe a pot or in your house, and this is a paper, so it's biodegradable. And you put it in there, and you say, you know, this represents bringing my main qualities, my main spiritual qualities, and my main qualities of being to the earth, to this reality, to this time. And you can do that to say, set, you know, your intention and show that you're bringing all that here to now, to the present time. It's a simple exercise, but that really shows that you really want to bring all those things that are you, and the qualities is what is going to show that space, is going to show that who you are. So the next time that you say, I want to be myself, or all I want to do is be me, then you will know exactly what it means. You will know that it means that space where you are everything that makes you feel home. That's you. And knowing that it is, and knowing yourself and understanding that there could be some things that are not positive and some things that are positive, it is a good way to start, because you can always shed those things that you don't want, and you can always choose to remain in the middle, or you can choose to remain in the good side of the polar opposite side. So it all depends. You know, you have the control, you have the tools to do it, and you have a way to manifested in reality. And I think that was pretty interesting, because I never really knew, like, I heard so many people saying, oh, you know, I want to be myself. And I was just looking at them thinking, like, well, what does that mean? And then when I practiced this exercise and I created my mental space that was home with all the elements that I could think, smells and textures and colors and things that make me feel home, then I was able to extract the qualities that were in that place. And then I could see, you know, calmness, I could see love, I could see wisdom, because many of those things were books I loved reading, and things like that. Things that are qualities that just make you be who you are, and that you can be identified with. And then you bring those qualities to life in the earth. And then you say, okay, now I can be myself. You know, I can bring those things. This is who I am. I feel home now everywhere. And that's something that we learn, you know, in the book. And like I said, I'm probably going to do a few workshops, I think. A workshop or two, or seminars could be good. So we can learn how to use these frequency words, how to access them, and we can have some fun. And traveling in our mind is a different thing. Mental travel is different than than the astral projection. It's different because we're not actually, well, it's quite different, but we're also traveling with our consciousness. In the last part, I show you how to do that, how to actually get out of your body and go into the mental space,
which is pretty interesting and a full, you know, full-on sensorial experience while you're in a mental space. And that's something that sounds possibly a little bit out there, but it's a lot of fun. And once you do that, you realize how similar the experiences in that plane are to the experiences in our plane of reality. And then you wonder, it's like, what is really real? What is really worth real or worth it to be limited by the body and limited by the possibilities in a physical interaction space like our reality now, or simply have the same experiences, the results, the same sensorial effect, but in a space where there is no limit, where you can do anything you want, and you can enter that space at any time without limits, and you can do anything you want there, and you can come out of there and have the same effect in your body, in all your cells, and your memory will feel like if you were actually there. How is that not more real than actually being in this plane? I still don't know that it is less real. I think sometimes, you know, even in some dreams, I know that people have dreams that are so real that you don't even know. Sometimes you don't remember if you dreamt, if that was a dream or it was reality, because it was so real that your body and your memory doesn't make a distinction of it. So if we want to be limited by the body and just think that reality is all this physical space with where we interact physically, then you can. But I think that it's time to open up to the possibility that reality is also where the consciousness is. It could be here or it could be somewhere else. And if we can travel with our consciousness to a mental space where there are no limits of or possibilities of what things can be done, why not? It's your choice. And it's usually because as humans, we always want to find the thing that limits us and then choose that to be the reality. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't really have to be that way. It is just something that we do because it's something that we have learned or we have been told to don't dream, don't think, don't imagine too much, you know, go back to reality, go back to work. Those are just, you know, people that want to cut your wings and people that have no imagination. But I think that you will find a lot of joy in spaces that are not physical and where you can go in with all your consciousness. And also, it will be great for your health, you know, to develop certain good habits. Even if you're not able to do it in this moment, in this plane, you can do it in your mental space. You can develop interest for exercising or interest for certain eating habits, or you can even regenerate your muscles or in your mind. You can create the muscular movement of something that you're trying to regenerate in your body. All that, you know, could be activated, and it will have an effect in the physical body because it's just how it is. You can try it. You can just imagine that you're sucking on a lemon. It's going to have the same effect as if you actually did it. So all those things we observe in the book, and like I said, we're definitely going to have some seminars about this. And if you have some interesting topics that you would like to discuss about mental travel, you can always email us or, like I said, share them on Facebook so everybody else can see them in our page in the facebook.com/healersofthelight. You can share with us and you can be updated with any events that are to come. So make sure that you follow us there, facebook.com/healersofthelight. And also, please sign up for our newsletter in healers.com. Healersofthelight.com. There you can find our in the bottom of the page is the newsletter, and please sign up because I always send up some, you know, invitations for events or some freebies or new blogs or just links for videos that we had or things like that. It's always good to keep updated, and I'm not a bugging person, so I probably you'll hear from me once or twice a month max, and so that's all. So make sure that you just sign up for the newsletter. And also, if you would like to follow us on Instagram, I'm always sharing nice quotes and motivational, inspirational quotes that could help you have a better day. So feel free to follow us there in instagram.com/healersofdelight. Well, it has been a pleasure again having you and talking to you for this day. And if you have any requests, you know where to find me. And I wish you a beautiful week, and we will talk soon. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Healers of the Light talk show. This and every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time with your host, Joanna Basols. Feel free to send us a request at info@healersofthelight.com. And also follow us on Facebook to know more about our programs, facebook.com/healersofthelight. Also, you can visit us on our website, healersofthelight.com.